everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. This is Terry Brown and Winfrey on the Winfrey Monday Night Show. We're broadcasting from Sedona, Arizona, and it looks like a totally full moon out there on the 22nd of November.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Lynn, are you on?
I'm on. Okay.
Take it away.
Take it away?
Yes.
Where should I take it away to?
Wherever you want to take it.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions in mind when you say that?
No, because I never know what's going to be on the show.
Terry loves to be on the spot, can you tell? Who is that laughing there? Hives, are you still alive, Hives?
Yes, I am.
Is that you laughing? Okay. This is Winfrey, and this is our conference call, simulcast with BBS Radio. And I would like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And as Terry was saying, did you say it's a full moon, Terry?
Yes.
Remember recording, right?
Wait, I got to start the recording. Thank you. Thank you. And there's somebody else that just joined us, but they're muted. Just a second.
Entry and exit chimes are off. Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, everybody, I think it might be worth waiting for. We never have the most professional beginning because this is, we're plugging things in and plugging things in with that. And somehow, there's no way to get around it. So I'm plugging the conference call in to the BBS line. And I had sent an email out. Some of you are listening probably got my email. And I had gotten an email earlier today from Diane Schroeder Gartner. And, you know, we're kind of, you know, how would I say this? A lot of times people get in our lines and things happen. And sometimes I talk about it and sometimes I don't. Because one of the reasons I don't talk about it and is because we have sources that say they can't, how would I say it, make changes in this realm. And from their realm, cause things to occur in this realm. And they have a criteria, and even I don't completely understand the criteria that's involved. I do know one of them is you have to ask. And that doesn't mean something will happen. I wish it did, because when they first started talking to me, those of you who've read the early channelings, and I was having these dialogues with Daphne, and I was trying to figure out how to make ends meet, I said, can you guys help me in the horse races? And they said, that would take me back to patterns of previous lifetimes. And it wouldn't be necessarily in my best interest for this lifetime. Well, you know, it would be nice, and I guess that would be everyone's dream to be in 3D and and you said, excuse me, can I have this? Can you fix my big toe? And can I have that? And my mother's got this problem. And you know, they do answer calls, but they have a criteria for what they can do and what they can't. So sometimes people ask and nothing happens. And then sometimes something happens. And I don't even like to document things that are miraculous because I'm afraid it creates too much expectation of people. And yes, you have to ask, but there's something more to it than just asking. And that is the best way to describe this. You have to ask with your consciousness. What does it mean to ask with your consciousness? Now, how can we explain that? What does it mean to be a warrior? What does it mean to mean business? What does it mean to say, I'm going to ask till I get it? What do those things mean? How many of you do that? Or how many, well, either won't ask because you don't think you're worthy, or you may ask one time for something and you think, oh, this doesn't work. Well, I can't really know when it's going to work or not, although I do know that sometimes it works, and I'll be asking them tonight some questions about asking. And we have a guest that had something happen that asked for something on our Wednesday call. And some of you were on the call and heard the answer. And this was about 2 weeks ago. And I'll just read the transcript from the Wednesday call. We started a question last week from Diane, who was having this unusual circumstance and having a bunch of birds landing. She wants to know what the meaning is. She is 40 miles south of Minneapolis. She wants to know if it's a good sign or a bad sign. She thinks the birds are crows, and for some strange reason, they choose to land right in her yard, not her neighbor's. And she lives where there's a lake with another lake to the back of us. It's a peninsula. It's her husband's home. He lives here before they met. And she's always felt ungrounded at this home. She was told there was a vortex, and it could be good or it could be bad. And if I shone a lot of light, it could be good. Since these birds have been here, we learned my husband's job was eliminated. There's a lawsuit. So she was having all these problems. So could you explain the meaning of all these birds landing in our backyard? Is it because of the vortex, because of us? Could it work out positively in the long run? Okay. So, unusual request. I get questions like that, and I say, oh, my God, what are they going to say? Let me tell you that I'm like you guys. When we do these shows, these are spontaneously unrehearsed. Terry doesn't know what they're going to say. She doesn't know what the questions are. And so I have to pick questions. And sometimes I'm saying, how are they going to answer that question? And for those of you that may be listening for the first time, when I say they, we have sources that identify themselves as group souls. And they say that one part of them was the creator of the physical realm. They call themselves the Council of Elohim. And for whatever reason, the voice that identified itself that way started talking to me 8 years ago. And it's been going on through two separate people in my life. I've had personal miracles over it. But mostly I've asked all these questions about this dimensional shift and the book I had written and the real meaning of it, which is in my reading material, which if you have not read it, I highly recommend it. I have a whole series of like 4 books and six audios, and The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, The Creator Gods of the Physical Realm Have Something to Say to You. That's the new name for Questions and Answers of the Elohim. I got my courage up and renamed it that. And if you're interested, go to purchase.messageaday.net, purchase.messageaday.net. And it's really good to read this material because it helps to make a connection with these sources, just reading their words. And, of course, even every time you're on this call and we do a channeling, it helps to make a connection. The goal of all of this, as I have learned over time, because at the beginning I could not figure out what the goal was. In fact, I couldn't even be sure, are they really who they say they are? And, you know, if you're checking this call out, you should ask that question also. You should ask the question and you should look at the material, because if they are who they say they are, this is really important. And the only way to figure that out is not have a determined opinion about it, because it's something you have to check out by kicking the tires, watching it over a period of time. Even something miraculous is not a good enough reason to give up your personal power. In fact, one of the things about talking to these sources is they don't make any requirement to give up your personal power, even though most of us are ready to do it. Like when people get readings, when people ask questions, what is the first thing they say? What am I supposed to be doing? Can you tell me what I'm supposed to be doing? And they're not going to tell you what you're supposed to be doing. They'll have to tell you how to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. And, I mean, I thought the same thing when they started talking to me. Well, what should I do? If you are who you are, tell me what to do. And over time, I learned couple of really interesting things. One of them was, and they can, this is me speaking for them, but it was my opinion of having a lot of conversations that, and I say this with no disrespect to these sources, that they didn't know what to do, that this realm had gotten screwed up under its own volitional free will clause, and they're watching it, and they have the ability to help, but people have to ask. And the other thing is, this is my take, it is the co-creative energies between us down here that is the most significant thing that can happen. In other words, the closest that would come under an edict from above is love your neighbor as yourself. Or when two or more are gathered, I am also present. That's what happens on these phone calls. We have learned to be gathered and bring in the energy and bring in their energy, and people feel it. And this is something that you have to watch it over a period of time. You have to take it in to believe it. You can't believe it if you just happen to drop in on this call tonight and say, I wonder if anything's on BBS. You should not believe anything I say, because this takes a lot of tire kicking. It takes a lot of investigation on your part. It takes a lot of trust in my authenticity. I realized at some point that I didn't really want to be in the front lines here. I just wanted to put messages out. And I realized that if I didn't tell my story and if I wasn't on the front line, that nothing would happen, because they need a representative. They need someone that can hold the space so they can come through. And when I say they don't know what to do, they do know how to work with us. They do know how to add their energy to our energy so things go easier. But they're not our boss. This idea, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but this is my take on this. The idea of God's will is really that we just, as humans, learn to be happy, creative, functional human beings in this realm, and then they add to that. It would be those of you that have children, that have brought up children, if we're to look upon ourselves as children of these sources, which is in a sense not inaccurate, because on some level they were the originators and we broke off and become us. And if you have children, probably if you're an enlightened kind of parent, the greatest joy is when your children grow up and they're happy and they're married and they have good jobs and they have nice children. And they come in. Diane, are you still there? What's going on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay, hi, Diane. You know,
hi.
I'm going on and I forgot you're there.
So, I am here, standing by, Wynn.
You know, thank you. You know what? I have to keep talking till I get a groove, all right? And then I'm okay. Whenever I start, it's like this. You know, I'm not in a groove. When I get in, I kind of get in the groove, and then I get so into it, and they start coming in while I'm talking, and I'm watching them come in, and I'm watching the energy shift, and I go blank. I forget. So, you know, I started out and I read this thing about the birds, and I went way off on children.
But it all made sense, Wynn. It all made sense.
I'll finish that thought just so it completes, and that is, when you have children, you don't want, if they're doing your will, it means you've got to boss them around all the time. You've got to tell them what to do. And what do we got? There's all these funny sounds in the background. And it's like, so if something is doing your will, it means you have a slave. And if you have a slave, then you are a slave. You're a slave to your slaves because you have to tell them what to do all the time. Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Who's that?
I'm calling from Trinidad. My name is Ronald. I have a question.
Well, who said I was taking questions?
Okay. You're taking questions.
Well, wait a second. Ask your question. This is getting very... don't take this personally, but we're kind of on a track, and I have Diane on, and she's going to tell a story. But what is your question?
Okay, I have been following I saw you first on the internet. I was looking at the thing with the vortex and your interview, and I saw the channel in by Daphne. And I know about your book with the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I'm calling from Trinidad and Tobago in the West Indies. My name is Ronald. My question is, I've been following Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus, and the question I have is that they both predicted the reincarnation or the return of Jesus in, Nostradamus said that he would come in 1998, and then Edgar Cayce said he would be here in 1999.
Ronald, is that your question?
Yeah.
You mean Ronald?
Yeah. Is he here? Has he reincarnated?
You know what? I haven't met him yet in the physical. And
right.
So, I don't really, you know, when we've asked that question, the answer was that what that meant. Do you remember I said they don't know what they're going to do? Remember I said that earlier? Were you listening? That
I
don't know what to do on this round.
I did last week. I got in late today.
Yeah. Well, basically, I think, you know, in the case, if you've read my book, you know, to answer the question out of a context, if you haven't really studied all my material, is difficult. But simply speaking, they said Edgar Cayce would return in 1998, live in Virginia Beach, and maybe a liberator of the world. That was a prophecy through Edgar Cayce. Now, when David Wilcock came in and we started writing the book, he did not want to be Edgar Cayce. I almost twisted his arm with the book because I said it would create a higher service if we did that. See, there's always free will, and there's a lot more to all these stories that meet the eye. And to really truly answer the question, I have to take the rest of the call to answer it. But in short, if you're sitting around waiting for Jesus, you're making a mistake. If you're learning how to tap into the Christ energies, which are on these calls, and if you keep listening to them, you start to feel it. What's said is the energy of the Christ, which is an energy, it's not a person, is available to everyone right now in a way that it's never been before. And that is the true return of the Christ. Is Jesus in a body coming back? If they could figure out a way to do it so that people would recognize him, they might do it. The chances are that people would fight over him, and it wouldn't work. But nonetheless, that's, never know. You never know where a window can come in where Jesus could actually come through. And, is he here now? He might be. He might be somewhere but not making himself known. But keep in mind that it's not easy to deal with recognition. He'd have to come in on a lot of loving energy through something. And our information is that he probably won't make himself known, but the Christ energy will. Now, thank you for calling us from the West Indies. I love your accent. And now I'm going to go back to Diane. And I have to chastise Seth for actually letting the call on, because sometimes we do channeling on these calls, and we can't have a call come through when we're channeling. It just totally cuts the energy. But thank you so much for calling, and I hope that satisfies you. The best thing is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you truly do that, you'll discover the Christ of energy. And now, going back to the birds, if you recall way back at the beginning of the show, Diane had all these birds, and she thought they were crows coming into her backyard and not into her neighbor's yard. And there was an answer to the question. This was a week and a half ago. We are mindful of your question, and we are looking at your area, and we pick up time-wise the birds, as the birds at times are called into connection with events that are coming into formation. And these birds are attracted to this energy, and they are like an expression of energy that is like an announcement of a future event. It may be that the birds are announcing the energies that they are picking up and are broadcasting in their bird calls, holding an expression of a future event which may not be positive. Not all birds, when they congregate and cry, are in tune with negative events. Some of them have discovered food, so they are calling others to participate in the event of food being provided. When birds congregate and cry, they are communicating. In this particular case, the birds are congregating and are picking up energy of events in formation. Give us a moment to look at this. We also see that these birds at that time, although attracted to this area by the particular energies, may have come into the area found a way to get food and suddenly fly away. So what can you do is take a wider look at your area and the energies connected with your family and put clearing in the space, and these negative energies may be cleared. Each individual in the family can put forth energy and the intention that all negative energy be cleared, so that when the birds come back, it will only be for the purpose of food and not as a messenger of some sort of bad news information. We see that the birds may come back as they have developed a two-year pattern and may come back within their grouping to collect there based upon their past energy. So we also put clearing energy to the area where the birds have been, so that when they come back, they will be looking for food and water and not collecting because of negative energy. This is what we see in this situation, and this applies only to this situation. And then I said, since these birds are landing particularly on her land and apparently not her neighbor's land, is there some past event that happened on this land that is creating something like a sign? They said, we do see that there were some past events that did happen on this land, like a gathering of people and a feeding of the birds. Beyond that, we look down through history, and the answer is there were other events that predisposed us to negative energy and see some heavy instances. We take a moment and take a look at the possible clearing of these negative energies so they do not intrude in future time. And I said, thank you. And I said, Diane, who is the person, let us know if anything happens. So, you know, just to reiterate, Diane's got a bunch of birds. They're telling us that the birds are indicating that something negative happened there in the past, and there was some kind of indication that maybe something negative was going to happen in the future. And they said that they were going to work with the energy of the area, and they also asked that the people that lived there work with the energy of the area to try to uplift it. And we have Diane on the line. So, Diane, would you like to share what happened?
Well, this morning I was listening to the replay of the grid healing, and I was connecting probably the best I've connected, and I've been listening for probably about a good 4 months. And I was holding the energy, and I was feeling a lot of the animal energy because of what we were reviewing about how the dolphins felt and the whales felt. And I was all done, and I did continue to hold the light and hold the grid of light right in this location because of its need, and it started to expand. And ever since Saturday, I've been hearing noises. We are on a lake, and I thought it was dogs, and then I thought, well, maybe it's just geese. We have quite a few geese around here. And I walked outside with my dogs, and I looked down, and I saw a couple of swans, which we do have two swans from time to time on this lake. It just grew and it expanded and more came in. And as we speak right now, I would say we have approximately 30 swans on our lake. It's a phenomenon. I've never seen anything like it before. So I do a lot of work with meditations with the angels, and I kind of wanted to investigate as to if a particular angel was associated with the swan, and I learned it was Zedekiel, and that stands for fairness and justice and everything that I'm needing in my life. And then when I sent the note, I said, I asked you, is this a clearing that has been sent from them? And then I continued on, and I said, I don't even have to ask you because I know. I felt it. It just expanded the light around here. It's unbelievable.
Were all your neighbors seeing all those swans and say, what's this?
I haven't seen anybody take note to it. I've seen, and they did a little parade. I saw about a dozen swim by. We're up on a hill, and I kind of had to peek through the woods in the binoculars to be able to see them real well. But they did a two-by-two parade, and there was probably about a string of six that just swam right in front of our house. It was just unbelievable. I've never seen so many swans.
How long have you lived there?
I have lived here 5 years in this particular location, but I've lived in the area for about 20 years, and I've never run across that huge amount of swans. It's just beautiful.
All right. Well, I really thank you for coming on and sharing that with us. Diane was shy, and I had to twist her arm slightly.
I can run outside to see if they're honking and let you know if everybody would like to hear them. They're just very, it's like a trumpeter.
Let us hear some swan honks, okay? That would be great. Well, you know, I want to point out that Diane asked for something and something happened. But I also point out that she's been coming into the calls for 4 months. She didn't just come in to say, do this for me, and then when it didn't happen, she left. She's been building her energy, and even after the Wednesday that she made that question about the birds, she was on the grid healing on Sunday. So there's something to be said about how you hold the energy with your request. Many of you know the story of my sister. Anyone who's studied my story knows that I got this call that my sister was supposed to die, had a really high chance of dying, and I asked in the channeling if they could help. And then I get the call the next day that she survived this critical cancer operation. And of course, it was coincidence. I wasn't sure. I had no way of proving it, one way or the other. But at that time, my sister went into a rehabilitation home, and I started calling her every day. And what did I call it? I called it the Cheer Up Society. This is the Cheer Up Society. And in fact, that was all happening at a point when Daphne and I were living in Pomona. And I would tell my sister jokes. And I tell her she had to tell the jokes to the nurses. And so every day she had a new joke. She was telling it to the nurses. And this went on for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then there was the incident where she had to go for tests. And the nurse said that the cancer was gone, but her lupus disappeared, and the lupus never goes away. And so they tested her again and again, and there was no lupus. Well, now, of course, I went back, and I said, how did you do that? And they said it was like putting a filter in her blood and taking out the lupus. But the part of the story I don't usually tell, but I'm going to tell it because it's relevant to today, is they also said that if I didn't do my Cheer Up Society, if I didn't call every day and lift the spirits of my sister, they would not have been able to do the healing, or certainly to get rid of her lupus. She had already had the cancer healing. But for that to go further, my sister had to be cheered up enough to receive the energies. And so when you ask for these things, and you ask for your aunt to have a healing, or your relative, do you call them every day? Do you check on how they are? What do you do to play your part? You see, if you're just saying, you guys do it, it's been my experience most often that nothing happens. when you reach and do something, you are creating, enhancing the power of the intent, of your intent, which helps them. And I don't know if I got this right. I say helps them. I don't know if it's the right wording to say helps them, which it seems like, since I'm not sure of this, it seems like the power of your intent creates an energy bridge for something to come down. And if you hold the intent, not just one day, but 24/7 for many days, you really increase the chances of it happening. Like what we're doing here on these calls, this is not necessarily out in the world in a big way, but you would not believe the intent it took on my part to get this crazy story and these unlikely experiences to this place. And an intent that was met with counter-intents, usually all along the way, one by one way or another. People thinking I was crazy, people thinking this can't be real, people thinking what if it's negative? And I had to believe in what I was going to do to make it happen. And I think there's a potential now for... And this part of this potential is dependent on you, you who's listening, because there's a potential for this to go to many, many, many more people, one way or another. The groundwork has been laid. The trenches are dug. We're meeting every week, three times. We have conversations with these guys. We ask them questions. People have had miracles. And we're holding it. We're holding the space. And for many of you who are listening to these calls, I know from the emails I get that it's changing the quality of your lives. It's keeping you out of fear. And so it's working. It's keeping me out of fear. I'm one of you. Don't think that I don't go through what you go through. There's an energy here that we're all riding on. And if you work it, which means keep listening, that energy will stick and cause things to occur may not have occurred otherwise. And so how strong is your intent? How strong, you know, this is going on and it's here. All you got to do is get somebody to listen. I had to sleep in my car, do talks. I had to do all kinds of things to get this to this place. now it's here. So have people listen. Figure out. We do three calls. We have all these things that other people could participate in. And figure out what's the best thing. Who would like to receive the transcripts? Have them sign up for the Spirit Channel. Who would like to listen to our Monday night and Wednesday night calls? Or who would like to listen to our Sunday calls? You know, to graduate this realm, your heart chakra needs to be open. And you need to be staying above fear. Each of you has the potential. I mean, just judging from observing the work we've been doing and how people are responding to it, these calls and this work is greatly assisting people in staying above the fear line, staying above that. And that means there's probably going to be a few people here and there that are going to graduate this realm because they're attending these calls. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I would guess that. That means if you introduce somebody to the call, you may make the difference to whether to their future dispensations. And that could be coming back to you. You can't do it because it comes back to you, But it comes back anyway, because you can't change something without changing yourself. And on that note, Terry, are you on the line?
I'm here.
You are. So we have a few more minutes left, about 6:43, so about 7 or 8 minutes. If you're up to bringing them in and having a couple words on topics we've been discussing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we have this little ritual called calling in of the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the solar system, through the outer energies of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection, a blending of our matrices, while maintaining the individual integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source present? Our source, Ra'an.
Yes, this is Ra'an. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here November 22nd, 2010. And we are here to answer any questions, and we send love to each and every one of you who is listening now or who will read the transcripts later or listen to any transcripts.
Thank you. Well, first question, we only have time for one or two questions. You know, Diane told her story, and of course, from this realm, we think that, was that an intervention or was that coincidence? Why did all those swans end up in her lake, and how did that work?
Thank you. We wouldn't exactly call it an intervention. We would call it a change of the energy frequency and a moving off of the negative energy that was stored up in the area of the land from an incident that occurred many years ago, the moving off and relieving of that pressure and that energy, allowing a different outcome for the area.
Thank you. Now, when something like that happens, there is a lifting of the energies, and you guys, you don't mind me calling you guys, participated in that lifting of the energy.
Everyone on the call participated. Diane participated. Everyone, the land participated. The energies participated. It all moved as a whole.
So when we talked about it, there was an open space, a clear space, for all that participation to cause a shift, so whatever was negatively impacting that land changed.
That's correct. And also the grid healing on Sunday helped to cement the process.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that something she's going to have to keep up? Or if she doesn't keep it up, will the negative stuff come back?
It is like the shifting of the spectrum of frequencies which the land experiences. It is still subject to negative occurrences, but it is like I'm turning the frequency on a radio dial, and then a whole new channel of energy is brought in. And if energy we see, other energies that could impinge upon that land, and so it pays to clear it periodically.
Mm-hmm. So every time we do a grid healing, it's good for her to think the thought of clearing the land as well.
Yes.
Or any other time. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Now, was there any connection with the fact that swans came and they represent justice, and Diana's in the middle of a legal injustice case of some sort?
Energies are connected, and there is some connection here as the energies are moving into a more enlightened energy, and the energy allows for the shift now to bring in these much needed changes in justice, but the swans are there as a result of the changing of the energies.
Thank you. Well, it's 6:50, and I think if we have one more thing to bring through, it's like perhaps you can comment, and even I forget this. I said, you did it, and suddenly brought it back and said, we did it. Over and over again, it's the group energy including us. It's not being done to us. It was me who spoke, was the syrup committee for my sister, and that I was told that that created the energy of the healing of her lupus. It was Diane's participation in the great healing, the continuity of intent over a period of time. And we have about 1 minute. Could you comment on the continuity of intent over a period of time? Because a lot of people, particularly in today's land of fast food, probably have a hard time getting into the continuity of intent. Thank you.
All is created moment by moment. And so for something to take hold, one needs to change the pattern in the underlying makeup and the bringing together of the manifestation of the energy. So it takes a certain continuity for this to become established in the manifestation.
Thank you. And on that note, it's 6:52. We're going to end this Monday night call. I thank Diane. I don't know if she's still on. Are you on, Diane? I thank Diane for coming on and telling her story. And I hope that perhaps those of you that are wishing something to shift can found the idea of the persistence of intent for the highest good of all concern, honor, and free will is probably one of the most magical things that causes a transformation, the persistence of intent. Thank you all for being here. Thank everyone who volunteers to help make these calls possible. Thank our sources. Thank Terry. And we'll see some of you on Wednesday when we do our question and answer call. And thank Seth and Don at BBS Radio. And we'll end this call now.